I've called today's sermon The Father's Judgment in Christ, because in a moment we're going to continue reading this passage from 2 Corinthians 5 that Judy started for us, and we're going to have to talk about the judgment seat of Christ and Judgment Day. But I want you to just hear those words that Judy just read to us from the first part of 2 Corinthians 5. Paul says it would be better to be at home with the Lord. Now, while we're in the body, we're not at home with the Lord. But he says we've got something to be doing, don't we? He says we're making it our aim to please him. And we have confidence even though we don't yet see everything that we want to see. We don't yet see everything healed, everything restored, everything made right. But we don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. Mm-hmm. Now with that in mind, I want you to see what Paul says next here in 2 Corinthians 5, starting in verse 10. He says, we make it our aim to please the Lord, for all of us must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each may receive recompense for what has been done in the body, whether good or evil. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we try to persuade others. Now, I don't know about you, but when I hear judgment seat of Christ, recompense for good or evil, and fear of the Lord, I get a little nervous. But as I was meditating and praying about this passage, one of the things that jumped out at me is that Paul says we will receive recompense, which just means payback, getting paid back, not only for what's evil, but for what good has been done in the body. Now, it's very easy for us when we read the scriptures to just read right over the good stuff and zero in on stuff that makes us fearful, that makes us bite our nails and makes our knees tremble. But do you realize that Paul is saying that on Judgment Day, when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, we will receive payback not only for bad things, but for good things? I tried to think of an example of what that might be. This is the one I came up with. Those of you women who have had children know what it does to your body. And in fact, if you've had more than one children, you know what it keeps doing to your body. A woman's body takes a pounding to have children. But isn't having children a good thing? It's a great thing. It's a wonderful thing. It's the best thing we could be doing in many ways. Maria's laughing because she's thinking about it. It's a great thing to have children. With all that that encompasses. So your body takes a pounding for this good thing you've done. And so Paul says, when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ on Judgment Day, you'll be paid back for that goodness. You'll be paid back for the beating your body took to do that good thing. And you will receive a new body, just as Jesus has, a resurrected and glorified body that whose ankles won't swell, whose feet won't go up half a size after you have kids. Yeah. And I won't get any more graphic than that, because the stuff it does to the female body to have children is probably a little PG-13. But you guys know what I'm talking about. I mean, you're going to have a brand new body that will last forever. And you will receive recompense for what has been done in the body that is good. So I think sometimes we need to just stop and really let the scripture speak to us and see that even as Paul uses phrases like fear of the Lord and recompense for evil and judgment seat of Christ, what he's describing is not a scary, frightening moment of condemnation. And one of the things I'm really thankful about of the years I've spent here at Good News Fellowship is that I know that what I'm telling you right now is nothing new. I know that you know that the judgment seat of Christ is a place of mercy and acceptance and forgiveness. And I know that the people of Good News Fellowship, all of you and all of us together, we are not staying up late at night wondering, will we make it into the kingdom? That is over and done with for years now. But notice what Paul says here in the first part of verse 11. He says, we try to persuade others. Now, there's a good reason for us to be here on a Sunday morning and go over these verses and think about the judgment of the Father. Because we all have people in our lives, friends and family and neighbors, who need to be persuaded of what we have been persuaded of. Who need to understand what the Holy Spirit has shown to us about the mercy and love of the judgment seat of Christ. Because Paul does say we'll receive recompense for what's been done that's good and for what is we've done that's evil. But even that doesn't scare us, does it? That doesn't scare us at Good News Fellowship, does it? Because we know how good and loving the Father really is. That's why I called today's sermon the Father's Judgment. And this is the connection, if you will, to Father's Day, since today is Father's Day here in the United States. It all depends on who you know your father to be, doesn't it? If you know your father to be an alcoholic who beats you for no reason or some reason or half a reason, you don't want to be before his judgment seat, do you? But if you know that your father is 100% committed and to you, that he is using all of his power and goodness and influence for you and on your side, not only do you not fear the judgment seat of Christ, you actually long to be there. Because some clarity would be nice once in a while. I'd like to know, what's the deal here, Jesus? Am I doing something wrong? Because this particular relationship's not working. This particular aspect of my life is messed up. Tell me, Jesus, what do I need to be doing here? And in fact, elsewhere in his epistles, Paul says that judgment has already started with the household of God. We are already in our lives experiencing the clarity of judgment day that the whole world will someday experience. So there are times right now where we are brought, as it were, in the Spirit, in the Holy Spirit, before the judgment seat of Christ. And we are told, that's evil. You know, you drink a little too much. And the Holy Spirit says, see how you feel? That's a sign to you. You're receiving payback in your body for the evil you've done. Cut it out. And of course, Jesus and the Holy Spirit is sharing his faith with us and empowering us, as it says, grace empowers us to say no to ungodliness. So as we understand the gracious, passionate love of our Father, when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, whether it's the judgment that's happening even now as we speak, or the one that's coming on judgment day, we stand there in the confidence of our Father's love. Not afraid, but relaxed. Cool as a cucumber. Happy. And as Jesus says in the Gospels, childlike. Fear, trembling, paranoia about God being out to get us. That's not the simple childlike faith that Jesus talks about in the Gospels when he takes up the little children in his arms and says, you must become like these little children to inherit the kingdom. But as we understand on this Father's Day, how much our Daddy in heaven passionately loves us, what does the Scripture say? Perfect love casts out fear. When I was fearful, I used to think, well, darn it, if I could just love perfectly, I wouldn't be afraid anymore. And then one day, the Holy Spirit turned the light on. The perfect love of the Father, Son, and Spirit casts out fear. The Scripture's not saying, Jonathan, learn to love perfectly and you won't be afraid anymore. The Scripture is saying, Jonathan, you are loved perfectly. Stop being afraid. And we try to persuade others of this truth. Any way we can, by example, by the way we live our lives, by hard, long prayer in private, and by talking to people and telling them who God really is, and sharing this gospel in concrete ways like Community Cafe. Every way we can, we're trying to persuade others as we have been persuaded. And sometimes we even need to persuade each other that this love of our Father is real. that his judgment is a judgment for us on our side that we can trust and have confidence about. So that it says elsewhere in the book of Hebrews that we run to the throne of grace. We run to the judgment seat of Christ, seeking clarity and wisdom and direction, knowing that everything our Father is doing in our lives through Jesus is for our good. And it shouldn't surprise us that in this context of the judgment seat of Christ and the goodness of the Father and trying to persuade others, that Paul finishes this section by going full blast into the gospel. He can't restrain himself, it seems, here in this part of 2 Corinthians. He must speak of the gospel in the light of the judgment seat of Christ, in the light of wanting to be at home with the Lord but still being in the body, in the light of walking by faith and not by sight. He says the love of Christ urges us on because we are convinced that one has died for all, therefore all have died. What are we talking about? You know, obviously we're not saying that you won't have to breathe your last someday and be put in the ground or put on a mantelpiece in an urn somewhere. When we say that we have all died in Christ, what we're saying is that death no longer has power and mastery over humanity and over the creation. That as Christ was raised from the dead, so we also will be raised from the dead. And it's not just about who got his ticket punched at the right moment. We have all been raised with Christ. And he died for all. So that those who live might live no longer for themselves, but for him who died and was raised for them. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we no longer know him in that way. Think about that. See, fear about judgment day, about God being out to get us, about what's going to happen with our lives, all the fear and the dysfunctionality in our lives, it really comes from viewing everything from a human point of view. From a human point of view, we live by sight, not by faith. And by sight, we see a world that's broken and not getting better. We see our lives degenerating, deteriorating towards the grave. By sight, we don't see the risen Christ seated at the Father's right hand. But by the faith of Jesus shared with us through the Holy Spirit, we see the whole world, the whole creation, and every human being who ever has lived or ever will live in a new way through Christ. So Paul says, if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. So let me ask you, is anyone in Christ? Yes. Not only is anyone in Christ, everyone's in Christ. He just told us, when he died, we all died. So if you want to get into the Greek grammar, this is condition fulfilled. Since everyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. Think about what he says. See, everything has become new. He can't be talking about my physical eyeballs and my brain and optic nerves, can he? Because by sight, not only has not everything not been made new, everything's getting old. I just spent 4 days looking at rental homes, and I can tell you, things are going downhill. Stuff's broken. Stuff's messed up. Stuff's dirty. No, when he says, see, everything has become new, he means see with spiritual eyes. See in the Holy Spirit through the faith of Jesus Christ. And when we begin to see that way, we see that there's only one thing left that has to happen. The apocalypse. Now, it's interesting to use that word in this context, because when you talk about science fiction novels and science fiction movies and stuff like that, when you say apocalyptic, what you mean is everything's gone to hell in a handbasket. Nuclear war, beasts coming out of the water, and that stuff's all in the apocalypse, the book of Revelation. But that's not the apocalypse, technically. In other words, the beasts and the 666 and the fire raining down, that's all going on at the end of days. The apocalypse is the new heaven and the new earth. Because apocalypse means revelation. It means unveiling. So everything has become new in the death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ. And we just need the curtains to pull back. We just need it to be unveiled so that we can see it with sight, with our physical eyes. But by faith, we can see it now. John says in Revelation, I was caught up in the Spirit. As we are caught up in the Spirit, the curtain is pulled back and we see everything has been made new in Jesus Christ. All have died in Him. When He died, we died. All have risen in Him. When He rose, we rose. And when He comes, we will share in His glory. But you see, the Father's judgment is this, if you will allow me to speak as though I am the Father. The Father's judgment is, I judge humanity to be messed up and broken and dysfunctional and loved more than they will ever know, and saved and adopted and included in my life with my Son Jesus Christ by the grace of the Holy Spirit forever without condition. So to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and to receive the Father's judgment on you is to be judged loved, to be judged accepted, to be judged forgiven. And yes, messed up, in need of direction, in need of the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, and by God, thankful for it. Thankful to have His judgment, the judgment of a loving daddy who is passionately on our side 100% no matter what may come. Any comments you'd like to make or questions you'd like to ask? That's cool. I understand we have beans and biscuits, so there's good reason to move on. Oh, Pat, you had something. Let me get you a mic.
Oh, I think my mic might not be on.
Let me just check.
Sorry, we really can't hear you, though, if we don't have it on. Did I turn it off? Is that the one I'm not supposed to turn off? Sorry, William. Here, use this. I may have just really messed it up, too. Go ahead.
In addition to what you were saying, or maybe, I don't know about addition, but just a real life example of what you were saying is, I never knew my father. Hmm. And by only discovering a sister some 20 years ago and developing a relationship with her, it seemed to, in my eyes, to validate my existence even. Because it was through her that we were accepted and loved and built a relationship. And so I liken that to what Jesus did for us. And then the same thing, and it really touches me in that being Father's Day. There's no way we could pay what would be called enough praise and honor and glory to our Father. But it's just an example of His love.
Mm. So, as our brother Jesus brought us into His relationship with His Father, your long-lost sister brought you into this relationship with this extended family you never knew because you didn't know your Father. Wow, that's powerful. That really is real-life gospel right there, isn't it? Thank you for sharing that, Pat.
Absolutely.
Oh, sure. Well, I'll have to do this because I messed that one.
He said, Well, sometimes I want to do a bad, go through pain like women, they might do in a certain way, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But the thing about it is when you can feel each other pain, it's like maybe one of you can come and try to ease it,
mm-hmm.
you know, at times. Because I don't believe in doctors, never will. Even when I had kids, this woman told me, oh, she done been in here several times. Aren't you tired of coming in here? And I told that woman, I said, if I could get up out of this strap right here, I would put you here just to show you how it really feels. Because this is my first time ever being in pride.
Thanks, Rhea.